The Greens want to legalise cannabis for recreational use, arguing Australia's policy should be geared towards bettering health outcomes rather than reducing crime. Cannabis is legal in some parts of the United States and is on track to become legal in Canada later this year. Mick Palmer is a former commissioner of the Australian Federal Police. He supports this policy. Here he is.
Our policy doesn't work. It's been an abject failure. We haven't achieved any of the objectives that the government and we collectively set for ourselves in terms of reducing or minimising harms. The reality is we haven't dented the supply market. We haven't caused a downturn in demand. User levels continue to go up. Prohibition itself is part of the problem.
Greg Hunt is the Minister for Health and I spoke to him a short time ago. Greg Hunt, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure.
You just heard Mick Palmer there. He's a former commissioner of the Australian Federal Police. He says our strategy isn't working. Aren't you convinced by what he has to say?
No. My focus is, as a health minister, the health effects of these drugs are clear and well established. Mental health impacts are very significant. We've seen the AMA. We have groups such as Mental Health Australia. We have SANE. We have the Royal College of Psychiatrists in the United Kingdom that have done extensive work. And what we've actually seen over the last decade is increasing evidence, already acknowledged today by Richard Di Natale, that prolonged use of cannabis can have quite profound and damaging mental health effects. This would worsen the problem, it wouldn't improve it, and these mental health effects are simply unacceptable and not something which we will allow on our watch.
We know that Canada is legalising cannabis later this year. It's legal in parts of the US and other countries around the world, also countries like Spain. How is Australia looking at the outcomes from those places when you're looking at policy here?
Look, it's a matter for each of those jurisdictions, but the medical evidence, whether you're referring to the Australian Medical Association, which is actually made very, very strong statements only, again, today about the impact of cannabis on physical health and mental health is significant. So that evidence is strong and clear, and that's the basis on which we take our advice and make our decisions. Strong, clear evidence that this is, in my view, a very dangerous drug, clearly addictive, and that it's a matter for other countries what they do, but here in Australia, the medical advice is clear.
The Australian Medical Association that you've quoted, their position statement on cannabis says that there is insufficient evidence to connect the use of the drug to anxiety and depression. What research does the government have that the AMA doesn't? Because they say that there is insufficient evidence there.
I think you will find that here are the words today from the AMA. We had considerable concerns about the risk for the young brain and the possibility of bringing on psychosis, especially in the younger groups. So that's absolutely clear and contemporary. So I respectfully, I've also seen other comments from them. So their view is that the health and medical impacts are well established. And the fact is, around the world, we've seen, whether it's the UK College of Psychiatrists or others, many, many studies which point to this. But the point is, Richard Di Natale acknowledged it today. And at the very time when the world is trying to crack down on the impacts of opioids because of such profound health effects, to go the other way on what is recognised as a dangerous and addictive drug would be a very, very reckless and irresponsible thing to do.
If you're just tuning in, the Health Minister Greg Hunt is my guest. What about alcohol and tobacco? Both cause major health problems across the spectrum, but they're legal. Is the social and political stigma getting in the way of practice, good policy making here? You make your points about cannabis. If we're to take them on face value, when we look at alcohol, I mean, there's just a study out in the last week, which is pretty devastating reading. Why don't we take a harder line on those things?
Well, actually, what we have seen is, in terms of tobacco, Australia has been consistently over many governments over recent decades one of the most effective and significantly engaged governments in the world. We've seen a dramatic reduction in tobacco use in Australia over the last four decades, and that has huge health benefits for the nation and huge impact in terms of individuals and what it means for their families. We'll continue to push for the reduction of smoking in Australia, and similarly, we'll continue to push hard for the strong and safe use of alcohol. So, that's the point. Australia has actually, by global standards, taken strong leads on those fronts, and we won't be reversing on our watch our position in relation to cannabis when it's very clear that this can have profound and significant mental health effects.
Just want to take you to another topic that's been very much on the news agenda now for several weeks, and that's private health insurance. New analysis by the consumer advocacy group Choice has found that really more than a dozen, I think, insurers increased their premiums by more than 10%. One case as much as 45%. Are consumers getting value for their money?
Well, you'd have to see what the individual contract was and whether or not there was any change in the provisions, because I'd like to see those individually, and we would invite anybody who's to submit their concerns either to the Private Health Insurance Ombudsman, available on the department's website, or directly to me at my office. More generally, what we've just delivered is the lowest change in 17 years, and our task is to go further and to continue to push by reducing the sources of cost. But the current alternative, the ALP proposal, would see prices rise by 16%. They'd strip away the lowest cost premiums, and that would force people into higher categories, and the impact of that would be many people would lose their coverage, or they would have their out-of-pockets increase and the scope of their coverage decrease. It would be a catastrophic outcome.
But why should the private health insurance rebate remain on junk policies?
Well, I don't accept your characterisation of them. Are you talking about policies that cover people with their choice of doctor?
Well, we know what junk policies are.
No, please.
You don't believe that there are... No, you're the health minister. You don't think there are junk policies?
What we have done is we've removed rebate for things such as Reiki and Rolfing and Bowen therapy. What Labor wants to do is hide behind that term, but remove it for the lower cost policies for pensioners, the lower cost policies for families that might be struggling with their income but believe in private health insurance, lower cost policies for retirees or young people. By contrast, we're introducing discounts of up to 10% for people under 30 to enter into private health insurance. So two completely different approaches. One, to drive up the cost of private health insurance and to strip away doctor choice for lower income people. An utterly vicious, savage attack on private health insurance motivated by ideology, and an irresponsible attack on cost of living. Two completely different approaches. One, to make private health more affordable and more widely available. The second, to drive people out of it, which is the shortened approach.
Just on the flu shot, the government is providing two new enhanced flu vaccines for people over the age of 65 years old after last year's record flu season, an awful
Correct.
Season. What went wrong, and how can we be sure that it won't go wrong this year?
So this was a mutation which occurred in many countries. The World Health Organization works with the Australian authorities and the producers to provide the best advice. The view is that we had best available medicine anywhere in the world, but what we saw was that the flu mutated after that was put in place. So we expedited the process here in Australia to get new beefed-up medicines with a AA and B strain covered. for the over 65s. We'll be rolling that out very, very, very shortly. And what that means is that they will have the best available coverage anywhere in the world. There are never any false guarantees that can be given, because the very nature of the flu is that it can mutate at any time, and so you can have the best available drug. Unlike most vaccinations, it's redone every year, because you have a particular condition that can mutate, can evolve at very, very short notice.
Just before I let you go, there is a motion that now Michael Kroger says won't be debated, but a motion that was going to be debated by the Victorian Liberal Party, which was in relation to these conversion therapies for gay people. Are you alarmed that people in your party would suggest such a thing?
Look, it's not something I support. It's not federal government policy. It's not going to be federal government policy, and we're not about to change our position on that.
But are you alarmed that somebody thought it was a good idea?
It's not an idea I support. People are entitled to have different views, views that I disagree with.
What you're also alarmed. You're also entitled to be alarmed, though. I'm just wondering what your level of concern is.
What I do worry about is this constant view that nobody is anywhere allowed to have a different view. As a journalist, I would hope you'd believe in freedom of speech.
I don't think the question is freedom of speech. But I asked you as Health Minister. Yeah, I do believe in freedom of speech.
What does freedom of speech mean to you?
This is a wonderful example of you not answering my question.
No, I will repeat. This is a genuine engagement of a real debate between a parliamentary
Do you believe that it is part of freedom of speech to convert young people away from being gay?
No, two completely different things.
No, but that's the question I was asking you.
There should be a practice of doing that. No. Do I think people are
have the right to suggest that it happens?
I disagree with. They are entitled to have views that you and I disagree with. What does freedom of speech mean to you?
So you think they are entitled
to...
I'm asking you a question because you're the health minister.
I've answered my question.
And there are health ramifications when people are converted.
Will you just answer a question from me? Here's your chance. What does freedom of speech mean to you as a journalist? Your audience is listening. Here's your chance. Or are you afraid to stand up for freedom of speech?
I asked you a question about gay conversion therapy.
And I've answered it.
And what is your answer?
I don't agree with it, but I believe that people have a right to views that you and I disagree with. Do you believe that people have a right to views that are different from yours?
Greg Hunt, thanks for joining me.
That's disappointing, Patricia. You're a journalist. I'm a parliamentary representative. You ask questions that you want to present as a game, but this is a real discussion about freedom of speech, and this was your chance, and I hope you run this in full.
I absolutely will run it in full. I'll also add, if you want to talk about freedom of speech, I am going to run it in full, every single word, because I think it does, it's an interesting conversation we're having. If you believe in freedom of speech, let me finish my sentence, it is the polite thing to do. Why do you think Michael Kroger pulled the motion if you think it's part of freedom of speech?
There was a motion.
Well, then, does that mean that you're repressing freedom of speech in Victoria?
I have no idea about the background to it.
How can you not have an idea? Then why are you reflecting on it then?
No, you asked me a general question. I've replied. I've asked you a general question and you won't reply.
Okay. I obviously believe in freedom of speech. I also believe that gay conversion therapy has had devastating results for people. So do you, and so does science. That was the question.
I disagree with gay conversion therapy, but I support freedom of speech. But you wouldn't say that when we were on air.
We're on air right now. I plan to run this. But why I plan to run this is that I think that it's extraordinary that when we invited you for an interview, which is pretty common practice, as you know, as all my listeners know, you've tried to turn around the interview and hijack it.
No, you invited me to talk about cannabis.
I asked you some straight questions.
Have no doubt Patricia will ask you about something which she hasn't flagged and we'll run it on to something else, which is fine. I accept that that's what you do. But I am surprised that it took an extraordinary amount of time for you to acknowledge that you actually believe in freedom of speech.
I was trying to make you answer some questions, but you know what? I reckon we've run out of time. Greg Hunt, thanks for joining us.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
That's the Health Minister, Greg Hunt. 0418 226 576 is the text line. And a pretty interesting exchange there. You can also tweet us using the hashtag RNDrive.